Now, we have some public record in relation to Project Vigilant. The rest of the statements are coming from this man who's the CEO. His interest in speaking about this publicly needs to be understood. He seems to be wanting to drum up more people in various ISPs and other organizations to install this spy software either for the ideological reasons or promise of payment. And it's a disturbing trend to see that indirection into a private company for spying. And he says that, speaks quite carefully and says that the spying that's occurring on internet use in the United States through his organization is as a result of a little sort of line in the small print that they get when they sign up that is not seen. And that small print is being used to collect and spy on these people without breaking the law.
We're talking to Julian Assange, founder and editor-in-chief of WikiLeaks. By the way, that quote that I read, the piece, wasn't Glenn Greenwald, though he's written about it, but Tom Leonard in the Telegraph in London. Project Vigilant press release says the organization tracks more than 250 million IP addresses a day and can develop portfolios on any name, screen name, or IP address. Jeremy Scahill has stayed with us. We were talking to him about President Obama's speech and the drawdown in Iraq. Jeremy, your comment on what Julian has said.
Well, I mean, I think the attacks that are being put forward by Mark Thiessen, Mike Rogers, by the Secretary of Defense and the Chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I mean, the painful, bloody irony of what they're saying about WikiLeaks and about the individuals that provided these documents to WikiLeaks is that the U.S. is the primary force jeopardizing Afghans every day. Afghan civilians every day. When you read in the documents these assassinations, essentially, of civilians that are taking place, why is there no outrage about that? Why aren't there courts martial of the individuals responsible for these massacres? Where are the prosecutions for murder? I mean, Mark Thiessen can write with a straight face about the crimes of Julian Assange and his criminal syndicate and yet supports the kind of slaughter that we see happening in these night raids on a regular basis. The other issue I would raise when we talk about the sort of rats that Julian is talking about that are trying to hunt down people that are essentially whistleblowers is that the Washington Post just did this massive series about the private intelligence industry. Hundreds of thousands of private contractors working for for-profit companies are given access to top-secret documents on a daily basis. I think that the Pentagon should be much more concerned about these corporations that are potentially sharing classified information with other clients, be they corporate clients or foreign governments, than they are about, whistleblowers. Because the real threat to U.S. national security likely comes from the fact that we've given all of these contractors access to this information while they simultaneously work for other governments and other corporations. So, I mean, the main point I would say here is that journalists that dwell on this issue of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks endangering Afghan collaborators with the U.S. Should spend a little bit of time focusing on who's been killing Afghan civilians on a regular basis. Yes, forces within the Taliban do it, but so too do U.S. military forces, and there's no accountability for those kinds of killings.
Julian Assange.
Well, thanks, Jeremy. But I see the sort of one positive outcome from these attacks on us, which of course are designed to deflect from the 20,000 deaths that we exposed in this material, including thousands of children, is...
Can you repeat the number, Julian Assange, of numbers of civilians killed that you think are...
There's around 20,000 in this material. Because the information is sort of well-structured, you can get a computer program to just add it all up. And so there's around 20,000 individuals. The counts of 20,000 deaths are in this material. And the Afghan government is complaining that last week there was a NATO attack that killed 52. So it really is quite extraordinary that the press is, that some parts of the press are concentrating on some hypothetical threat to some people. I mean, when the London Times, if you like, it was the first to push on this, it's a rival to The Guardian that had the 14 pages that we printed. And the example that they raised was of someone who, it turned out, had been dead for 2 years, that we were alleged to have killed. If you actually read the headline, the named man was already dead, but constructed in such a way that it looked like that we had done it, but in fact the US military or something else had killed this man two years ago. So the beneficial thing I see coming out of this is, well, we finally have statements from Mullins and Gates that they have concern for Afghan civilians in this process. Now, of course, it would be nice to see that actually translate into something on the ground. We have to look at the data itself. I mean, this material was available to everyone, as far as I can see, on SERPINET, which is the secret network, which is not a high classification. That's just a low to medium level classification. So available to hundreds of thousands or millions of individuals, and included Afghan informants and collaborators' names. And that is not how, for example, we do things. And we always use code names. We'll never keep those names. And the U.S. has simply shown contempt for these Afghans. They never really cared about them at all. And that's why it didn't help us to try and go through this enormous quantity of material to find these names, and never engage in correct security procedures to protect its sources in the first place, because we didn't give a damn about them.
Lynn Cheney, the daughter of Dick Cheney, went on Fox and said, "I'd really like to see President Obama move to ask the government of Iceland to shut the website down. I'd like to see him move to shut it down ourselves if Iceland won't do it." Julian.
Yeah, a source of great delight in Iceland, actually, that statement. I mean, she is a not terribly liked individual. Well, I shouldn't say that. Actually, her father is not a not well-liked individual, and she seems to share the same politics and patronage network and, you know, extended friends and so on. So the Icelandic people are fiercely independent, and I'm sure they're not going to be cowed by Liz Cheney.
Right, that was Liz Cheney, Cheney's daughter. How are you protecting yourself at this point, Julian Assange?
Well, I would love to tell you all about it, Amy, but, you know, that might not be wise. However, there are countries, Western countries, even countries in NATO, that are strongly supportive of what we do politically. And, for example, the UK has announced, UK Parliament has announced two inquiries into Afghanistan, one on the civilian casualties and the other on what is the exit strategy and how to get out of it. The Dutch government just formally announced its exit from Afghanistan. Governments around the world involved in the ISAF coalition have, in big and small ways, announced that they're trying to do something about the revelations in this material. And all of them are taking note of what the United States' attitude is, which is, instead of immediately saying these revelations are a serious concern, we never wanted to harm Afghan civilians or to bribe the media, as an example of one of the revelations in there. And we intend to launch an immediate investigation to understand this and compensate those people accordingly and change our procedures. That's what the rest of the world wants to hear. That's what Afghanistan, the people of Afghanistan, want to hear. But instead they heard a personal attack on me and on our organization and an announcement that they would be going after the whistleblower or whistleblowers involved in this. And now we see them living up to those words and stalking around Boston, spying and harassing MIT graduates and trumping around the United Kingdom, where they raided Manning, the alleged whistleblower for a video release called Collateral Murder, in her home in Wales.
Well, Julian Assange, we're going to leave it there, founder and editor-in-chief of WikiLeaks, speaking to us from abroad. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. And on that issue of collateral murder, what WikiLeaks called the video of July 12, 2007, of a military, U.S. military Apache attack on residents of Baghdad, two Reuters employees killed in that. You can go to our website, democracynow.org, to see the discussion in the video. And also an update to one of our headlines. Al Jazeera is now reporting at least three Lebanese soldiers have been killed by Israeli forces during an exchange of rocket and gunfire along the border between the two countries. A Lebanese journalist was also killed, and five more Lebanese soldiers wounded in the Israeli shelling. At least two Israeli soldiers were shot. That does it for the show. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Shrifa Bokadus, Aaron Mata, Angelique Comet, Steve Martinez, Nicole Salazar, Hani Masood, Robbie Karen, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Noguera, our engineers. Special thanks to Elizabeth Press, Julie Crosby, Nick Gilla, Hugh Grant, Samantha Chamblee, Jessel Noor, Vesta Godars. Our website is democracynow.org. Thanks to also John Randolph, Kieran Craig-Meadows, Rakan Penny, Kellan Innocent. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
Hi, everyone. This is Teresa Sapolsky inviting you to tune in to the Polka Country USA show every Sunday from 5:30 to 7, where you hear polka music, north, south, east, west, the oldest, the newest, and the best. And remember, all the best can be found here at your favorite radio station, WUSB, 90.1 on your FM dial from Stony Brook.
And you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. The time is just about 6 o'clock. Time once again for Off the Wall. And good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined once again by Kyle.
Hi.
Hi, Kay. How are you?
I'm well.
We're speaking with initials today. Okay, that's just fine. Well, FYI, there is a lot of stuff going on in the world, and we're going to talk about some of it. But this is your last show before you trek off to Holland. Is that right?
That's correct.
So where are you? You're going to another hacker camp?
I am.
A smaller hacker camp.
It's much smaller, yes.
An elite hacker camp. Well, isn't that what
Nobody said it was elite.
Well, I think, you know, when you have... How many people are going to be at this one? 300, maybe?
I think 300 was the original size that I was told, but it could be larger. I don't know.
I think the last one was 3,000, so it's a tenth the size.
Well, and it sounds pretty substantial from what I've seen on their website. The stuff they're going to be having sounds pretty substantial. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Comprehensive.
Yeah, well, I can hardly wait to hear what it's all about, and maybe you'll be able to call into Off the Hook or something and give us updates on that. But you'll be back in, I believe, 2 weeks.
I will.
Not next week. Well, actually, in 3 weeks. Not next week or the week after, but the week after that, you'll be back. But the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a couple of specials, and well, your voice will be featured prominently in those as well. It's the Bosnia shows, the two remaining Bosnia shows. We already did one Bosnia show, and we have two left.
Correct.
And we just had so much material. So many things happened there.
I can't wait. They're awesome. They were so fun to record.
They really were. And the one that we air next week is going to be... well, I don't want to spoil the surprise, but
yeah,
there are things recorded on there that I never thought I'd capture on tape or on MP3 players, whatever it was I was using.
They're time capsules.
They are time capsules, and we were recording at just precisely the right moment for certain things to happen. And yeah, it's great. And it's only one part of the Balkan trip that we took this this spring. We still have Albania to go, and Macedonia, and of course Serbia. All kinds of cool things. So that's the next 2 weeks, and then the week after that you'll be back.
I will.
For 1 week, and then you go back to Seattle.
Yes, at some point I'll be making my way to the West Coast.
Wow.
That's off, way off in the future.
We've been so busy. Today was a crazy busy day for us, as always, running around, doing errands, making deliveries, making pickups, things like that. We don't have to get more specific than that.
No, we don't.
No point. But it's just literally, you walk in here with 2 minutes left. That's why there was some music playing. I had to actually finish some business while the intro was going. But it's fun, you know. We're still dealing with the aftermath of Hope in a good way, getting the audio and the videos ready and in record time, and that's going to be really fun to relive all of that. Hope Conference took place 2 weeks ago in New York City, and we had about 100 talks that were recorded, that is, and all kinds of history was made. So we're making all that available, and we want to remember it and plan for the next one.
Yeah, and it's important to take this time. I think everything's gone really well. We've been a little frazzled and, you know, trying to transition to other things and get everything accomplished. But I think the time we've taken is really going to show, because just listening to the talks, it's amazing to hear something that happened just 2 weeks ago on all sorts of issues, all sorts of people, people that, you know, never would have gotten a chance, maybe never spoke before in their lives. I'm in there. I'd never spoken in front of a large group before like this. And
yeah.
So when those get online and out there, I think people are going to be really thrilled to see it. So
it's really incredible, just because what we've been doing over the last couple of weeks, and you set up a chain of machines to help make this possible, but we were basically encoding all the videos and extracting audio from the DVDs, making it available in different formats, and of course you hear and see a lot of the conference when you do it, little bits and pieces, but
yes.
Wow, yeah, there were so many really cool talks. And
I also previewed a little bit and made sure everything was correct, and I was sort of the director of entropy and making sure the workflow was sane.
Yes, you certainly were, and I think we'll see the results of that really, really soon. So that's been our lives the last couple of weeks, just making sure all that's done, and I think we're at the stage where we can say, yeah, it's pretty much done.
Yep.
Pretty much done.
Yeah.
Couple of, you know, bits and pieces to
loose ends,
but for the most part, it's done. Yeah, so we can now rest. Of course, you're not going to rest. You're going to immediately hightail it off to another conference.
That's right.
And you're going to help organize this one too, right?
Yes, I'm going for Build Up this weekend, and I'll be part of the crew setting up, just like I did for HAR,
mm-hmm.
And just joining other people. A lot of friends that I met at HAAR, and it's really amazing. I've been sort of arranging and trying to get coordinated with and hooked up with the crew so that I can help. And
HAAR being Hacking at Random, which took place last year.
Yes,
in
I'm
Holland,
sorry,
that was
in 2009.
Big camp.
Yeah,
big camp.
Hacking at Random, which was a huge camp put on by the HXX Foundation. And this is part of that crew, sort of that organizing crew. And this is one of their more regular events that they got their start doing. You know, they did their Summerland and Winterland events, and that's sort of how they got the attention of some of the other Dutch crews, I think, just and through the network, like they know each other. So they're doing this one, and they invited me, and I promised I'd go, and I'm just thrilled and thankful to everyone out there. I'm so excited. It's going to be so awesome, and the people have just sort of made it work. They've, you know, offered me, you know, hey, you can sleep here this night, and then we're going there the next night, and so I really haven't had to worry about accommodations or anything. And we're going to be camping. I'll be doing some stargazing and doing all kinds of computer stuff with everybody. So
it's going to be great. And you remember a couple of years ago, you were attending conferences, but now you're helping to run them.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. I can't even fathom that. That's absolutely true. And very astute to point out. I went to my first conference, Hope Number 6, and I was really quiet. I didn't like getting a lot of exposure. I didn't really want to be seen in like computer clubs or hacking meetings or any kind of groups. I was very in the background. I just sort of listened and observed and consumed. But as I've gotten involved, I've realized it's very important to be integrated and to be talking associate and participate and be among others, and that's really led to me just exploding and you know, doing all kinds of stuff, not literally but just
almost exploded into the scene here.
Well, it was last summer I really started traveling and doing things and uh-huh. participating. It was tour camp, and then I went right to HAAR, and I don't think I've stopped since. And
CCC, the German event that takes place in the winter,
exploring with you, and then the next Hope. I was ready for that right away, and it's been a whirlwind. Mm-hmm. As I expand in this universe or expand along with it, I'm really thrilled.
Kyle's
with all the
big
things.
Bang.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, get ready.
I've been thrilled. You know, it's just been a really fun ride, and I'm just wanting to continue and wanting to stay integrated and stay involved, like online or off.
So. And this could be somebody listening to the show now who sees themselves as much in the background or insignificant, perhaps. No, it's not true. You are significant, and you can participate as much as you have a mind to, and really take charge of these things and make a big difference, because I don't know if you know, but you've made a huge difference. You really have.
And well, thank you.
So many people, and it helps make things successful, both abroad and here.
Truly, truly. And I totally concur. It is that awakening, that realization that you are a valuable member of the community. You are unique. You have an infinite amount of possibility that you are and you create and you can turn people on to. And if you're shy, if you're cutting yourself off, if you're isolated and you don't sort of take a leap or, you know, try to be related, it's there's no chance. And you have to be open to failure and open to learning things and being wrong sometimes. But when you do that, when you make that step, it's just amazing what is possible. And it's been thrilling. And I think that, you know, that's certainly possible for anybody. I mean, I'm not discrediting myself, but everybody is unique and we all have something to offer. And it's not just about what particular technical thing or social thing or even work-related thing that you have to offer. There's that other half, which is the learning from others. And if you're not with people, mm-hmm. you don't get that. So
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's hard. It's not something that you can just snap your fingers and do. There are sacrifices. You have to figure out how to make it all work. And avoid all the pressure of society and peers and parents and teachers and army recruiters and everybody else that seems to want to control your life. You got to decide for yourself what it is you want to do and make yourself happy. And hopefully that's what we're all doing.
Yeah, I really feel like it's slow, but I think it's happening the way it ought to. So mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, now talking about things that should happen the way they ought to. We ought to take more phone calls, I think. We haven't done. We've been very remiss. Although, you know, listeners, Not to take all the blame here. Some of the blame lies with you. Yes, you, the people listening, because you haven't been calling enough. All right. I don't want this to turn into a battle of words or anything like that, where we hurl accusations at each other. So let's just start with a fresh slate. And tonight what we're going to do is we're going to start off the show in delay. So we'll do the entire show in delay. So that means we can just take a phone call at any time. What do you think
Correct.
About that?
Yeah. I like that idea.
We can do that. And
absolutely.
That way they don't all come at the end of the show. We don't say, okay, we're going to open it up now and get all upset when the calls don't come in. If we see a call come in and we're in the middle of a diatribe, we'll come to a graceful stop and then we'll take a phone call and do it that way. What do you think?
I like that. That's absolutely the way we ought to do it. And, you know, there's a myriad of smart people out there, and we've been talking about a lot of different issues. So let's hear it. You know, let's get some feedback and find out what's going on, what
All
people
right.
want
well,
to talk about.
What we're going to do is we're going to have a celebrity step in and give an ID for the station, and then we'll come back in a few seconds, and we'll be in delay at that point. And hopefully it'll all work nice and smoothly.
For WUSB Stony Brook, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
I really hope that worked all nice and smoothly.
I made it.
I guess. Did you make it, Kyle?
I made it. I think I'm here. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, there was that slight pause. And, of course, we had the celebrity step in and give the ID. That was very smooth, relaxed. All right. We're here. Okay. They're telling us that we're okay. Everyone's fine. Our phone number is 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. It's August now. We're in the middle of, in the beginning of August. And, wow, summer's really flying by, isn't it?
It is.
Well, tonight actually might be a pretty cool night because supposedly, because plasma is being spewed at us by the sun on this particular day, we might be able to see the Northern Lights from New York.
Yes.
Stargazers looking to the sky late Tuesday night and early Wednesday morning could see Northern Lights or aurorae. Is that how you pronounce it?
Aurora borealis.
Yeah, well, they didn't say that. They just said aurorae.
Aurorae.
Yeah. Is that how you say that?
Okay. Aurora.
It's not a word I use in everyday conversation. According to the Harvard-Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, and if they didn't say it, we wouldn't believe it, the potential light show started on Sunday when the sun's surface erupted and hurled tons of ionized atoms or plasma into space. This eruption is directed right at us. I'd be a little concerned about why that is. And it's expected to get here early in the day on August the 4th. That's tomorrow. That's according to astronomer Leon Golub of the Harvard-Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics. It's the first major Earth-directed eruption in quite some time. Now, you know, when an astronomer says quite some time, does he mean a couple of weeks? Does he mean several billion years?
Well, it ebbs and flows. Solar weather goes for minimum and maximum activities.
Mm-hmm.
And what I read earlier today is that it's usually about a five-year maximum, then a five-year minimum. So it takes like around 10 years to go through both phases to get back to your maximum.
All right.
But apparently it's been a lot less or very weak. We went through a week minimum, and now this is the onset of maybe a stronger maximum.
Okay, I understood about 12% of that, but
keep reading.
I'll try.
That's just what I was reading.
When
I was really interested.
An expulsion reaches Earth, I just like that phrase, it interacts with the planet's magnetic field and can create a geomagnetic storm. Solar particles stream down the field lines towards Earth's poles. Those particles crash with atoms of nitrogen and oxygen in the atmosphere, which then glow like little neon signs. Except these little neon signs won't have advertising on them. They'll just be lights. Sky watchers in the northern U.S. and other countries should look toward the north late Tuesday or early Wednesday for rippling curtains of green and red light. So I think we should do that later on tonight. We are in the northern United States, right? This qualifies, doesn't it?
I'm all in. I want to do it.
Yeah.
Usually you have to see this. You have to be in Canada or you have to be in Alaska to see this.
And
but
I've been in both and I've never seen it.
I've
been across the sea twice on a boat and haven't seen anything.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, I've been to northern Norway, for God's sake. When the sun was down, I didn't see it. And when the sun was up, too. You know, it's I'm doing everything right. It's the northern lights that aren't cooperating. So hopefully tonight we can get some cooperation.
I believe they'll be switched on tonight.
All right. 631-632-9872. That's our phone number. We've gotten a bunch of mail about the quest for Starbucks, which, of course, is in hiatus now due to the summer. But people have been writing in. Here's a letter from Amasawa. Just letting you know, you got listeners in Edmonton who are cheering you on, Emmanuel. I've never been to the particular Starbucks that is still on the list, but maybe if it makes it through another round, I'll have to go scope it out for you. Well, Amasawa, I think you should scope it out now because we're down to the round of 16. And Edmonton is one of the Starbucks that made it that far. We're talking about 9719 137th Avenue in Edmonton. So that's one of the potential Starbucks that could be my first when this list gets narrowed down even further. It's the only one in Edmonton being represented. And I think, is it the only one in Canada? No, it's, there's one in Toronto as well that's being represented. But those are the two shots Canada has at having me go there.
Yeah, he could just drive by at least tell you, is it a large one? Is it a small one?
Send us some pictures. Yeah. We want to know everything there is to know about each of these Starbucks. You can go to thefirststarbucks.com and see the full list of all the ones that are still in contention. Of course, the drawing resumes in the fall. We'll try to do a bit of a feature on all the cities that are represented here. Here's another letter. I checked out one of the final 16 Starbucks today, the one in Newport Beach. And of course, Newport Beach is in California. I wore my WUSB shirt expecting to be greeted by lots of excitement, but oddly, nobody seemed to know about the show. You would think, with all the money the station must be spending on the dancers, they would at least contact the prospective Starbucks. Maybe Californians are just too laid back to get excited about a contest like this. It seems like a pretty standard Starbucks situated in a strip mall. There are two old hippies debating the nature of existence, but I can't guarantee they will be there if you come. I'm sure they will be. There's also a Pete's just down the road, P-E-T-S, in case you don't like the coffee at Starbucks. And Matt, thank you very much. You sent us a picture, which is very cool and awesome. I actually don't know much about this area, he says, since I just moved down last week. I did check out Balboa Island today. We can get a world-famous frozen banana. That's got really nothing to do with the Starbucks, so does it? But thanks for writing. See, that's two of the 16 right there that people have written in about. And the other ones, San Diego, College Park, Maryland, Dubai in UAE, Chicago, Roseville, California, St. Peter's, Missouri, Sherwood, Oregon, Redlands, California, Hong Kong, Oklahoma City, Toronto, Cordova, California, Luzerne in Switzerland, and Denver. So if you're in any of those places, let us know.
Have you ever been to a Pete's?
I don't even know what a Pete's is.
Okay.
They make the Wicked Ale? Or was that a different Pete?
No. It's P-E-E-T.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay.
I don't want to get off on off topic here, but yeah, it's another, it's a smaller chain of coffee shops.
Don't worry about being off. This show is one giant off topic, so I wouldn't worry about that at all.
Yeah, well, no, I've been to a Pete's. I was just wondering if you've been or if you knew what it was.
No.
Okay, yeah, it's a small coffee shop.
Here's another letter that's got nothing to do with Starbucks. First of all, I'd like to say thanks for the effort you're investing in the shows. I'm trying to listen to Off the Hook and Off the Wall regularly. As you discussed the Telecommunication Museum in the show of July 13th, I was reminded on my holiday in Iceland. They have a nice telecommunication museum as well. Might be much smaller than the one you've been talking about, but the knowledge and passion of the people there was impressive. If you ever go to Reykjavik and get a few hours free, give it a try. Signed, Michael from Germany. And that's very nice to know people are out there looking for telecommunications museums as well, like the one that you're involved in.
Yeah, Andy, one of the older guys at the Museum of Communications, he actually went to Reykjavik, and I wonder, he didn't say explicitly, but I wonder if he stopped by the museum or if he even knew. I'll have to tell him that there's one in Iceland because he went on a trip a couple months ago and was really happy with it.
Well, that's good to know that there are other museums out there, and hopefully,
I had no idea that there was one on Iceland.
They'll spread, and of course that harkens back to your talk on telecommunications, the telephone pioneers of America, and they gather in a museum in Seattle.
Absolutely, it's an old central office, and it's three floors. Two floors that they run are a museum, and it has all kinds of memorabilia and tools and apparatus involved with the telephone system. And there's a strong group of telephone pioneers that staff this facility, and that's the real good stuff is hearing and talking to them and sharing. So museums are great. It's a good thing. So
our email address is otw@2600.com if you have anything you'd like to share with us. And our phone number is 631-632-9872. Phone lines are open right now if you want to call in and share anything with us. We're here live. We won't be here live next week because we're doing the Bosnia show, and the week after that, same thing. So, this is your chance to spout off about whatever is on your mind. But don't spout off too much because, we want to keep the 18 to 34 a listening audience.
Well,
and they have a short attention span.
And how about just some good conversation?
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a point or something like that,
you don't need
to spout off.
Right.
Tell us how you feel. You know, argue your point, right, or don't argue.
Talking on top of each other, though, that's nobody wants to hear that, right?
No.
Back and forth. No, it's got to be
back and forth. It's two-way.
Well, we have a call. Should we try this and see
how
it works out?
Let's take a call.
All right. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. I thought I pressed a button. Let me press it again. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yeah. Hey, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
Brian here.
Brian, where are you calling from, Brian?
I'm in St. Louis, but I'm from Baltimore.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Good to hear you. I'm calling
because I got to realize two New Year's resolutions. I called into your show.
That was a New Year's resolution, calling into the show?
Fantastic.
That was one of my resolutions. I sent you an email about it earlier today.
Wow. Well, way to go. I mean, congratulations. I know it must have been difficult for you to do this, but wow. Okay, good, good.
You have to set your bar, you know, at the appropriate level.
Yeah.
And I also attended the Hope Conference.
Wow, you were at the Next Hope.
Yep. So it was wonderful.
I really enjoyed it.
I don't know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw Kyle's presentation, which was awesome.
Oh, thank you. The social engineering
was fantastic.
Wow.
So just, I had listened to the previous ones before, so just a great, great experience, and glad to be able to participate.
Well, that's great. It's good to know people are actually out there and that they care enough to come visit and participate and things like that. Was it your first time in New York?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. I've been to New York before.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Anything you'd have to say to people that haven't participated in things like this before?
Do it. Just, if you're thinking about it, just do it. Jump right in. As Kyle was saying before, you know, you might have to ease in and kind of just soak it all in. But then eventually I hope to join in, participate a little bit more.
Absolutely.
It's great, just a great experience.
Isn't it eye-opening? You get in there and, you know, you become part of it, and It's important to do that, and you know, you never thought it was possible. And there's so much about in real life and in face to face, so much communication that goes on that you realize it's okay and it's fun to be a part of. So welcome and thank you for taking that leap and joining everyone.
Well, great, and I'm hoping to join up with our hackerspace in Baltimore node, which I've haven't visited yet, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. And
so, wait, you're from Baltimore, but you live in St. Louis.
No, I'm just visiting St. Louis.
Oh, I see. Okay, because I was going to ask how far you are from St. Peter's, Missouri, because that's one of the Starbucks is there. But,
oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but since you're going back to Maryland, how far are you from College Park, Maryland?
About 20 miles or so.
Okay.
I've never been to the Starbucks there. But
well, that could be the site of a lot of excitement sometime next year if it's one of the finalists.
Well, good luck in the final 16.
Definitely check out your hackerspace.
Someplace interesting.
Yeah.
So, although Starbucks, I'm not sure how interesting you can get there.
Well, you know, when you inject certain chemicals into other chemicals, all sorts of volatile things might happen. So we'll see.
But definitely check out your hackerspace.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll do. All right. Thanks a lot for the show, guys. I really love it.
Yeah,
Take care. Have a good night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 631-632-9872. That was a good call.
That was a great call.
That was a great call. See, there's many potential callers out there, lots of people listening. It's always strange with radio. You never know who's out there.
Don't.
631-632-9872. Here's another letter. Dear Emmanuel, I was turned on to your two radio broadcasts about North Korea a while ago. I've probably listened to those shows dozens upon dozens of times. Can you imagine that? If I may, I have a couple of questions. Note, I'm not familiar with your regular shows. Were these two shows, May 22nd, 2007 and August 7th, 2007, your only on-location shows from North Korea? Why was there such a long delay between episodes? Well, I'll tell you, the reason there was a delay was because it took time to put the shows together, and we wanted to do live shows in between that as well. And also, we didn't want to throw too much North Korea at people. Sometimes that doesn't work out well.
Yes, their sensibilities get overwhelmed.
Yeah. But we also did a couple of shows. We did one show where I was speaking from North Korea on Off the Hook. It was a recording, but I was actually speaking on the phone from there. So that was kind of interesting. So it's in that range. I think it was in April of 2007. You'll find that. Question number two, who is the British sounding chap with you? He was a friend. Let that be all. Well, I'm not dropping names of people that haven't given me permission to drop their names.
That's right.
Do you have any pictures from the trip? Yes, I have scores of pictures. Would you believe I'm still sorting those out and figuring out a way to present them. You see, when you go to North Korea, it's kind of tricky. You don't want to get people in trouble if you took pictures of things that you weren't supposed to take pictures of, or if somehow you present things in an unflattering light. Yeah, of course, you can disagree with those particular rules and the way they look over your shoulder and things like that. But at the same time, you don't want to get somebody else in trouble because you're standing up to their system. But pictures will be available. I know it's been a while, but they will be. A lot of things I got to do, you know. This is why the theme music goes so long sometimes. I'm still catching up. How long was the trip? The trip was, I think, just over a week. I was able to go on a European passport, so I was able to stay a little bit longer than Americans can stay. However, you should check out, if you have any interest at all in going to North Korea, check out Koryo Tours, KoryoTours.com. And I know they have all kinds of possible things that Americans can do. It's more restricted, it's shorter, but it is a taste of what that particular country is like. And believe me, it's fascinating. It really is very interesting. And if you're overseas, if you're in Europe, or if you have a European passport, I definitely suggest traveling on that, because you can do much more and see much more and kind of strike out on your own. It's a fascinating place. Final question. You seem to be positive about your impressions about life over there. Do you still feel the same way? Signed, Vaskin from Montreal. Well, I don't know if... I don't want to confuse people into thinking that I embraced the quality of life in North Korea and am ready to move over there. It's not that at all. It's more looking into the faces of people, communicating with them, seeing kids smiling and playing, and just finding the similarities between our culture, our people, and theirs. And realizing it doesn't all have to be about the latest proclamations and demands and face-offs. Yeah, those are still there, and there are still all kinds of realities that are very hard to face. But it's a waste if we don't go over there and try to see beyond that and try to communicate with people on other levels as well. Because then, if you don't do that, you just basically have this image that never changes and is unapproachable, and you don't ever progress beyond that. And that's unfortunately what seems to have happened in much of the world. And I kind of like to just go places and just sort of share the small moments with people and know that you made a difference and they made a difference to you. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot of parallels with this mentality, and it's, you know, finding out, seeing it for yourself. You know, instead of hearing it from someone else or some authority or some, you know, online news publication, you know, all kinds of opinions are out there. But until you kind of get a taste for yourself and form your own, it's not mm-hmm. genuine. It's not, you know.
Yeah,
conclusion
you have to see
reached.
Things. You have to see things for yourself.
Well, of course, you might see something else that they've missed, mm-hmm. right?
You know, I mean, there's so many little moments. There's so many things where, you know, you're on a bus and you're going through a small town and you just see maybe people gathered in a store, or you see a couple of teenage girls basically laughing about something. And that's not the North Korea that you see on the news. You see basically the same shots of the soldiers marching. You see the same shots of the strident newscasters and
or ICBMs
and Kim Jong-il and all that. that's the only North Korea we see. I wanted to see something beyond that. I wanted to see what their streets look like, what the actual pavement look like, what their buses and trains look like, things like that. That's
sort of the everyday.
Yeah, that tells you something about what real life is like. And of course, you're not seeing everything, although we did see quite a bit. We traveled to the north of the country. We went to different cities as well. We passed through all kinds of small towns and farms and things like that. And yeah, you could see a lot more than what they intended you to see if you had your eyes open. And that's true of any place. So, yeah, that's why voyaging to strange places, even if they're not quite to your liking, it's an important thing to do. It's a way to open up your eyes. All right, 631-632-9872 is our phone number. We have open phones today, so please call in with whatever is on your mind. We got this letter, too, from a listener last week. I just wanted to say how surreal it was to listen to Off the Wall and watch you on Democracy Now! On Link TV at the same time. Yes, last week I was on Democracy Now! And the world's still trying to get over that.
oh, come on. It was great.
I decided to DVR the episode after I listened to your interview with Amy on WUSB. The HOPE conference looked really interesting to me. I wish I could have made it just to walk around and check it out. I'm the owner of a 2009 Red Smart for Two Pure.
Woo!
Yeah. Well, I'm the owner of a 2005 Red Smart. It's a Pure, right? For Two Pure? Do I have a Pure?
I believe
or
yours
a Passion?
Is Passion.
Is it you know, I don't even know the difference. And mine's diesel, and it's from Canada. Or it's from Europe, but it came by way of Canada.
This letter, his is diesel? The 09 is diesel?
No, mine is.
Yours
about
is.
Me, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And with the recent closure of the Smithtown dealership that's locally here, where I bought the car, I've had to get creative in getting it serviced. Since I live in Rocky Point, driving into the dealership in Rosland or New York City didn't seem like the best option, although combining a trip to New York City with a smart car service would probably save some serious parking money. That's very smart, actually. You bring your car into New York City and have it serviced, and you don't have to pay for parking because it's being serviced.
Wow.
But, you know, if you have a smart car, you can park pretty much anywhere, and there are a lot of places where parking doesn't cost anything in residential neighborhoods, and you can squeeze it into almost any space. Anyway, I found the easiest thing to do was to have the car serviced on a recent trip to New England. There's a smart Mercedes dealership 5 minutes from the Bridgeport Ferry in Connecticut. So on the way to Massachusetts for a science fiction convention, I gave myself an extra 6 hours and had a regular service appointment. I'll still have trouble getting the car inspected, and I also would like to have my car serviced at some of the regular mechanics I've used over the years. Smart has the potential for brand loyalty that Volkswagen did in the 1960s and 1970s. It's a car I call my in-between car, a car I can drive to work by myself, yet still afford to own and insure. My 10-year-old van I keep for times I need to drive the entire family somewhere. Most trips I make, though, are by myself, and the price of the Smart is perfect for someone in my income bracket. Anyway, it's funny that you were programmed against yourself today. It reminded me of when Star Trek DS9 and Voyager were on TV opposite each other on competing networks. All the best to you. I hope I haven't missed the Starbucks reveal. My 13-year-old daughter heard your initial rant about Starbucks months ago and never forgot it. It's funny what sticks in people's minds. Signed, Phil. Thanks very much, Phil, for that really nice letter.
That was a good letter.
We have a phone call, and you're on Off the Wall. Good evening.
Oh, hello.
Hi, where are you calling from?
East Iowa.
East Iowa?
Yes.
Okay, great. What's on your mind?
So you've never seen the Northern Lights, then?
Never seen them. No, I suppose you have.
Well, I used to live in Upper Michigan, which is practically the deep south of Canada, so I did see them probably about 5 or 6 times.
Wow.
Whoa.
Well, tonight might be my first time, so is there anything I need to prepare to see this?
Not really, I'd say. Just hope for a clear night. I don't know if I'm far north enough to see them tonight or if it's going to wind up overcast, but, you know, it's really a question of luck for the most part. Mm-hmm. And I was basically just in the right place at the right time a lot because I was up there. Mm-hmm. So,
well, when they appear, do they last for a long time or is it only for a few seconds?
It's usually several minutes, at least. There was the first time I saw them, a buddy of mine and I had been driving along somewhere, and I had commented that I'd never seen them, and he was shocked by this. And then when we get out of the car, we're about to wander into his apartment, we look up, and the whole sky is just kind of glowing green and pulsating all over the place.
Wow.
Stayed out there for about 20 minutes or so. So, hey, maybe you'll luck out tonight.
Yeah, well, I've seen a lot of cool things in the sky. I've seen 2 comets. I've seen scores of satellites, and there was the meteor shower of a few years ago that was just simply phenomenal. It lasted all night long and had more meteors in the sky than I've ever seen in my life. So, yeah, I've seen some incredible things. And, of course, as a kid looking at through a telescope, seeing the rings of Saturn and the moons of Jupiter and all kinds of other celestial objects, I realized there's a lot of magic out there.
Well, yeah, one of my best friends when I was a kid, his dad was an amateur astronomer. He ground his own lenses and everything. And, you know, you see just all kinds of crazy stuff up there. And it's just, on some level, it's hard to believe that, you know, that little dot in the sky is so many millions of miles away and it's a gigantic world. And it's kind of mind-blowing at times.
Yeah, it really is. Puts things in perspective and makes you realize how much more there is.
Yeah, and I'm going to jump topic a little bit.
Sure.
And I'm imagining you'll be covering this on tomorrow's show. But any thoughts on Adrian Lamo's recent, trying to think of how to word it, him and the 2 MIT students that he turned in?
From what I understand, he basically for some reason, I have to say that in front of almost everything he says these days. For some reason, he was musing on the air or to a reporter that he believes that Bradley Manning, the Army kid that's accused of leaking material, that he had help or somebody else was involved in this, and he was thinking that these MIT students or one MIT student were also involved. And I believe something came out a day or two later where one of them said that, yes, in fact, they were. Do I have that right?
I'm kind of in the dark on it. I've just seen it in passing.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah, is that what you read?
Well, the quotation from Lama was that he didn't think Bradley Manning was capable of doing some of the technical things involved with encrypting the data and stuff like that.
See, now this goes beyond what he initially said, which was that he feared for the safety of people in the military, that leaking all these thousands of documents was something that maybe could be a threat to national security. And if you accept that, fine. But here he's going beyond that, saying, well, let's think about who else might be involved and trying to pull more people into the investigation. You know, it's... It's a very disquieting thing to see.
Yeah, I think the only thing that's worse is I made the mistake of reading an article about Manning on, God, I think it was CNN this morning.
Uh-huh.
And CNN now apparently has user comments, and there's just all these knuckle-draggers screaming for his head.
Yeah.
Assange and Manning and
it's crazy.
Anyone with a computer, it's just frightening.
Yeah, what CNN has become, just by opening up their every single news story to every lunatic in the world who wants to comment, and of course, if you're going to comment on a story and you don't have very high mentality, you're going to try and make it as offensive as possible. So basically, it means that every story has racist and sexist and just plain stupid comments constantly. And if somebody puts in effort to write a story, does research, all that kind of thing, I think they deserve to have their story stand out as a work that they have completed and not share a page with a bunch of imbeciles that don't even know anything about the subject but just like to see their words in print.
Well,
I agree with that.
It's so easy to get on the internet now anyway. Why don't they just, go to WordPress and start up a blog or something?
Yeah.
Why do they have to be there?
Yeah. And that's a good point, because people who cry censorship, if you limit posts on a website so that not everybody can say whatever is on their mind, that's not censorship. That's called editing. Censorship would be if you told them that they weren't allowed to open up their own blog and run their own website. It's very, very different.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, then, I think that's about everything. Have a good night.
Thanks. Thanks for your call and for some enlightening thoughts.
Good night.
Yeah, well... Good luck.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off like that. It's kind of startling what things have turned into. For instance, a story about I'm just looking at this right now. You've heard about this mosque that they want to build.
Oh yeah, this has sort of been gurgling and working its way into the top of the news.
I mean, I think it's an amazing and mature thing to do to show that this is a country made up of people from all walks of life, and that we're not stupid enough to say that a particular religion is represented by the acts of a few idiots in that religion.
Correct.
And the same could be said of any religion. And just look at history of the religions that predominate in this country, and you can see very quickly how and even the present day antics of some preachers in various places, you can see how it's a big mistake to categorize people in that particular way. So yeah, if you have a problem with a mosque being anywhere near the former World Trade Center site, Ground Zero, it tells me that you have a problem with a particular type of religion.
Absolutely.
And I just, as a non-religious person myself, I see that as wrong. I see that as something that tells me that you've got some issues to work out. You've got some prejudices about something and some assumptions, some misassumptions that simply don't stand up to any real evidence. You know?
It's an enormous faith. And I mean, the shows that we're airing next week, we were in Bosnia, leaving Bosnia, and there was a lot of minaret and a lot of mosque there. And Yeah, it was eye-opening, and I think we talked about that a little bit. But, you know, people ought to be taking interest. If this is the community that they're alleging, or that, you know, that is having this ire directed at it, there should be some interest and some sort of sharing and, you know, education on everybody's part to get some understanding and coexistence is sort of inevitable. We're all here together. So, but yeah, that's, you know, Islam's an enormous faith. So.
Oh, you know, I hate that. I'm going to CNN's webpage and just looking at things. Don't you hate that when a video plays? You're trying to read a news story and they give you a video instead without warning you.
Laundry detergent.
It's really ridiculous. Yeah, it's a commercial first and then a video. But I was trying to read a story about how the Anti-Defamation League has weighed in on this, as if it's any of their business, saying that yes, building a mosque is a big mistake. You know, I mean, how does that look? You know, when a Jewish group comes in and says, no, don't build a mosque. It's really not helping at all. Mayor Bloomberg, of course, is in favor. I don't know why I say of course, but maybe people might be surprised by that. But he actually has some rather enlightened ideas with regards to things like bike lanes in New York City, greenery, things like that. And tolerance. I hate saying the word tolerance. We've been over this before.
Yeah.
You know, because tolerance implies that you still hate the people, but you're just going to tolerate them. And, if that's all that we can accomplish, then we still have some major, major problems. The story today is New York City's Landmarks Preservation Commission has denied landmark status to a building a developer plans to use for an Islamic center that would include a mosque near the site of the 9/11 attack. The decision means the site of the proposed mosque can be demolished or modified. Opponents of the mosque had sought landmark status to prevent the site from being converted into an Islamic center. The commission denied the site landmark by a 9-0 vote. So, now if you read the story, of course, you'll see all kinds of stupid comments here. Let's look at the first one. I hear 3,000 voices screaming out in rage. It makes you wonder how much these board members were paid by Arab interest to get this done. Swing the door open wide to the Muslims, and we'll be fighting them right in our own towns. Shame on the lot of you. Corruption rules the country right now, and you're a living proof of it. I hope they publish all the names and addresses of the board members. Be proud. Don't hide. This, and that's mild. That is mild of the kind of thing that gets posted right there next to the story. Here's another one. This is exactly what bin Laden would want, a mosque built in the place he destroyed. I think this is very insensitive. I don't want to read any more of this.
Enough.
But wow. You know, just think about Oklahoma City. Who bombed Oklahoma City? What religion was that guy? You know, and was his particular religion banned in the surrounding area? Ridiculous. Let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, Finn.
No, Finn is in the other room. I'll put you on hold so you can talk to him. The guy coming on after us is getting more calls than we are. 631-632-9872. Actually, do you think you might be able to find Finn and tell him he has a phone call? Oh, yeah. Okay. He might be in the studio. He might not be. Our phone number is 631-632-9872. If you have,
can you transfer it, or you want him in here?
Well, it's on the line that shows up everywhere, so he should be able to see it. Yeah, I could transfer it. I could transfer it anywhere. All right, but we have other news stories too. In fact, this is one I wanted to show Kyle when he gets back in here, as I gather my papers together. Yes. Okay, Kyle, you're back. Good.
I think you got.
Yeah, he did pick up. I see the light is solid now. 631-632-9872 if you want to talk to us. Or Finn, he's here too. You hear about this story today? 9 people died in a mass shooting Tuesday at a workplace in Manchester, Connecticut, just a few miles from here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that number includes the shooter. He died at the scene of a gunshot wound. The shooting happened at Hartford Distributors, a beer distributor close to the communities of South Windsor and Manchester. The reason I bring this up is not because of all the stories like this we focus on over the years and how this shows constantly how gun violence is out of control in this country. And
absolutely.
I don't want to get into that whole debate again.
Don't want to be around
it. I don't know why it's a debate even.
Yeah.
But You didn't hear about the story. In fact, we had the news on all day today.
Uh-huh.
The news was on in the background, and it's not even news anymore. And so 9 people killed in a shooting rampage in the next state over, and it's not even the top story. It's not something that we focus on. It's so typical. So
you're right.
I mean,
I think I skimmed over it online, but it didn't even resonate.
And that makes me wonder how insensitive we're becoming.
Wow.
This is just not even an issue anymore, and then more and more things like this happen, and yeah, so what?
No, now that you point it out, that's amazing. It didn't even resonate.
It's part of our normal life.
Wow.
And our way of thinking about all sorts of things is constantly changing. For instance, this is something I come in contact with quite a bit. You know how you used to be able to walk into buildings in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah.
And now you have to sign in. And the reason for that is because of security, because of post-9/11. I don't know what the relationship is to 9/11, but if you don't sign in, you can't get into a building. Apparently, yeah. If you're going to blow up the building, they at least want to know what your name was.
Yeah.
So now I'm hearing things from people that initially were opposed to this kind of thing. And if there's a problem with the system, it's a security issue for them now, for everybody, for all of us. So imagine you work in a building in Manhattan, and all of a sudden somebody is in your building that didn't sign in. You're the one saying this is a security violation, a security concern. You're worried about this. When 10 years ago, it was not something you would have given a second thought to. Now, is this because of 9/11? Is this because we're just more paranoid? What is it exactly that we're worried about? What are we afraid of? Why does everybody have to be accounted for at all times? You see, our way of thinking is changing. I've gone over this before with regards to schools,
mm-hmm.
how schools have metal detectors now.
And that's normal.
That's normal.
Or searching your lockers with school, dogs and stuff.
If a school doesn't have a metal detector, there's something wrong. Now,
or full-time police.
A cop in school? That was unheard of when
right.
I went to school.
Right.
So what has changed? What has changed in our lives where we now accept this? Are we really that different, or have we simply just allow the rules to be changed and move the bar someplace else?
And also, how does that, you know, in the example of schools, how does that condition young people
mm-hmm.
to interact with police and,
exactly.
and that presence? How does that impact their growth?
And think about them growing up, realizing that's normal, and then saying to themselves 10, 20 years down the road, wow, this is a lot stranger than it was when I was growing up, because when I was growing up, we just had one cop in the schools. Now we have 10.
Right. And then, like, how are you going to express yourself? How can you write whatever you want or do whatever kind of art project you want or anything, say what you want
mm-hmm.
when you know, oh, by the way, there's a cop right outside the classroom walking around the halls looking over, you know. Now, I'm not saying there's direct, you know, oversight, but what's next?
All right. Let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Speak up. All right, try this one. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hi. I wanted to talk about a story you just brought up a couple minutes ago about the box.
Okay. And you got to turn your radio down. You're in a car, aren't you?
What's that?
Are you in a car? Or you're on a cell phone. Yeah. You got to turn your radio down. It's going to get very confusing.
Oh, sure.
Okay. What's on your mind?
I've been following this story about the mosque. I'm actually a Muslim living on Long Island.
Uh-huh.
I noticed that their PR, their whole public relations about this, they did it all wrong.
Okay.
Huh.
They didn't even go out to the community to talk about, you know, what happened, because it was a very tragic experience for everybody involved.
Right. Right.
And now all of a sudden they want to build a mosque without getting community input on it. So I feel like if they would have done their PR properly, then it wouldn't be such a big negative issue as we're seeing now.
Well, I haven't seen the community input, but then again, I haven't been following the story until it became a huge story. So are you certain there wasn't any community input?
Exactly. That's the problem. Right now, actually, my community of Muslims, we're known as the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. We're actually doing a campaign across the country called Muslims for Peace.
Okay.
And we're going around handing out flyers door to door. We're all over in New York City, and we're telling people that we're Muslims for peace. We don't believe in terrorism. We think that's not Islam, and so that's our PR with the people, to let them know that there are moderate Muslims. We do exist, and we're out there getting our voice out.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's something that I think a lot of people are aware of, whether or not they want to say it out loud. But obviously more people need to become aware of this and realize that this is true throughout the entire globe. There are moderate Muslims everywhere. It's not just a monolithic mass of people. Yeah, there's always going to be morons in any religion that say all kinds of horrible things about other religions and other people. But to judge an entire religion based on that, you're almost as guilty as they are.
Exactly. And I love that point you made about tolerance, where we have to go beyond tolerance, because to say tolerance means you still hate the people.
Right.
You've got to deal with them anyways. And I think that's very, very unique point, and I'm going to have to carry that message around as well.
All right. Well, listen, I'm glad you called.
Hey, thanks for having the show, guys.
All right. Take care. Well, we got some good calls today, don't you?
Yeah, I really agree with his sentiment, and the very first thing that he said, that really clicked in my mind. You know, I don't even think people consider that of those 3,000 people, how many were Islamic?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
of the faith.
And it's not the only thing happening in the world either. There are all kinds of other instances of terrorism where Muslims are the target. And because it might be one particular extremist group targeting somebody they don't like who's also Muslim, because they're not true Muslims and nonsense like that. This is something we're all involved in together. And I think we should be honored that there would be a mosque somewhere nearby, because that just shows the incredible diversity and universal caring that we all can have for each other if we choose to. So, you know, the tragedy that it was, 9/11 was also a tremendous opportunity for global outreach and for people to come together on really important things. Instead, it turned into a really divisive thing, thanks to our president at the time, and led to all kinds of disasters in other parts of the world, which hopefully will get over someday. And I hope we're not judged that way. I hope Americans aren't judged by the rest of the world because of the mistakes that we've made, horrible things that we're doing in the name of our regime. It's complicated, but I think individual people, they make the difference. They're the ones that actually can change history.
Yeah, people in their various systems, they represent, you know, choices every day, and they all have the power of choosing.
Yeah, we were going to talk about, you know, we ran out of time. We were going to talk about the smart car manual. Some people have written in about that, but can we say anything in the remaining minute that we have?
We did get a link to a smart section on servicing and getting manuals. We can say that link or provide it later. There's three sections that link's divided into. The first is operate and service, and it lists several different things, my manuals, FAQs, maintenance schedule, do-it-yourself, and then in the do-it-yourself, they offer free advice on how to do simple things like oil, air filters, spark plugs, and then after that, there's service locations and getting to know your 4-2, and that's basically all they give you for free. There's two other sections. The next is service professionals, and I assume if you're an owner, you could probably sign up for the service professionals section, and you can pay $7.95 for one day access to the WISASRA online document reader.
Uh-huh.
And they basically charge you. You get a login, and you can go in and look at the manuals. And that's great.
But it's not actually getting a manual, a printed
it's
manual.
Not
you can
a
print
book.
It all, supposedly.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of stress and
it's
a lot
not
of
a
work.
Book. And the third option is interesting. So if, you know, we can't get, I think at some point there will be a book that we can actually hold in our hand, but the third one is My Smart 4-2, and this is interesting because it's new and it's still being developed, and it says get access to the Smart USA owner portal. The smartusa.com owner portal is currently limited to pre-selected beta testers. Check back soon to register your own account and access information for your 4-2.
Yeah, it's access control of the worst sort.
So maybe we can get on the beta test, but I don't know.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's going to pretty much do it for us tonight. Kyle, I want to thank you for all your input and creativity and things like that, and wish you the best over in Holland for the next couple of weeks.
You're most welcome, E, and I'll be back. And thank you for allowing me to join you and enjoying my company.
And we'll be enjoying your company the next couple of weeks via the Wayback Machine as we travel to Bosnia together and play some excerpts. The next 2 weeks, of some of the magical fun we had there.
All those omelets were so good.
Yeah, they really were. Well, you gave it away. You know, they know there's going to be an omelet next week. Yeah, there will be an omelet. It's, it really is incredible. Write to us, otw@2600.com. Again, the Bosnia shows next couple of weeks. Carol and I will be back in 3 weeks with all sorts of other fun things.
Good night, everyone.